For Red Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 44th International Film Festival Rotterdam, and I'm joined by filmmaker Brittany West, who is presenting her film Tired Moonlight here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah.
Yay, we're in Rotterdam. So could you introduce your film, first of all, to our listeners who haven't had the pleasure of seeing it yet?
Yeah, it's a film that I shot in my hometown in a small town in Montana. It has a lot of memories from my childhood, and it's sort of just a wandering exploration of a bunch of characters that live in this town.
Kind of blends the fiction documentary style in a way, doesn't it? Was that your original intention?
We never necessarily wanted to sell it as a documentary, but I think we went into it with a script and a story, and we wanted to add our story into the real locations and the places that exist. So I think it was a style that arose out of the place and the way that we went about shooting it.
Yeah, was there a particularly like elaborate construction of the film, or did most of it come spontaneous, and was it driven by feelings from yourself, from what you felt, you know, what your hometown gave you in terms of inspiration?
Yeah, I went into it with a lot of locations in mind, and like I said, we would take the script and know what we wanted to get out of a scene, but then we would show up at a location and find a man throwing fireworks into the river and shotgunning beers in a neck brace, and we just, you know, we knew that we had to include that in the film. So I think it was always an idea to be a little bit loose and let things happen as they came.
Right. Obviously, part of the appeal of this film is that for anyone that has never been there, you know, me included, they get a feeling that goes very close. You know, you really look at the people, but you also treasure the landscape around it. So how do you see this film kind of, you know, appeal to a more international audience in terms of actually connecting to the piece for someone who has never been to the place?
It's hard to say. I think a lot of the details are so specific to America that I think I really captured a certain essence of Montana that I don't know if you'd recognize unless you'd gone there. But I also think there are a lot of gatherings, and I think a lot of the emotions in the film and being lonely and trying to fall in love and trying to find a life path that you think you're supposed to be a part of can translate to anyone. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say that even though they couldn't understand all of the language necessarily, it still spoke to them somehow. So I think the festivals, the fireworks, the little gathering, you know, the awkward moments, I think that all plays for people regardless of where you're from.
It's really wonderful. And let's talk about the actual narrative, because there is an actual narrative that is explored through certain characters. Did that leave some sort of room for like the actors themselves to improvise? Was there any script ever? And was it, again, like the rest of the film, very impulsive in the way that it came out?
There was a script from the beginning. I had an idea to write a movie about two women who had lived together for their whole lives and were just sort of okay with the fact that they'd never had relationships or families. They just lived together in a platonic relationship. And that ended up morphing sort of into the script about a single woman who lives alone in the woods in Montana and has sort of accepted her solitary existence, which I think is really easy to do in that place. I mean, you're surrounded by animals and by, you know, the outside world, but you don't really have to interact with people that often. So that was sort of the basic outline that we went into it with, and I ended up writing a full script, but a lot of the actors' real lives sort of informed what we ended up shooting. I was good friends with a few of them, and I met a lot of them along the way and got to be good friends with them, so it was nice to be able to include their feelings and, you know, what they were going through in life as well.
That's great. Obviously, getting a film together is never really easy on a financial level. Was that ever a problem to you for your film?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we shot on film, which is exceptionally expensive.
That's what I was going to say. It looks stunning.
Yeah, it's really hard. The nice thing about shooting in my hometown was that our whole crew and all the cast lived at my parents' house in Montana, so we all moved in together. And my parents, you know, do a lot of things like have four-wheelers and have my brother drives race cars, so we sort of had an in to all of these crazy locations. And you know, I think that added a lot to the film and made it seem like it was a lot more expensive than it was. But still, I got a couple of artist grants along the way, which helped a lot. But I also worked a lot and saved up a lot of money and
Yeah. You got to suffer for your art, you know.
Exactly.
That's always the case, and especially in filmmaking, you know, it's very hard to just get enough money together and make a feature film happen. And let's talk about you. I'd like to get to know you a little bit more. That sounds kind of creepy. But what are your sort of filmmaking influences? How did you want to become a filmmaker, and what are the themes that particularly interest you?
I've always been sort of a creative person, I guess, for my whole life. I never really liked films. I never was into movies. I didn't really watch movies in my whole life. I had spent a lot of time outside and wandering around Montana, so I wasn't really a film person. But I think that my, it combines a lot of different types of art, so I think it's nice to be able to capture that.
Yeah.
I really like films that put me to sleep, maybe. I mean, I like a lot of Herzog movies. I like, a lot of wandering narratives. I don't think I ever set out to create something like anything else, so it wasn't... We didn't talk about film influences along the way. I think, nature documentaries and walking around outside influenced me a lot more in music. And, I think there are other influences, literature that influenced me a lot more than films per se. But I think I connect with other filmmakers that sort of see the world in like this piecemeal way. Everything's not a structured narrative, and everything doesn't have to boil down to one purpose or one point. I think it's nice to be able to include a bigger message or many different messages in the film.
Yeah, you're so right. Actually, I'm happy you said that, because I almost kind of figured it out by myself. It's not just a film, but it's also poetry, and there's quite a bit of it. Some of it is very deep, and I really liked it. Is that your own poetry, or was it like bits of poetry that you found along the way?
The main character, Paul, in the movie plays a sort of traveling poet, and he's a poet in real life. He's this great punk guy from Minneapolis, Minnesota, who I had known for a while, and he wrote poetry for the film and then also had other things laying around that we included. And then I wrote a lot of voiceover for the different characters in the film in the end to sort of tie in different thoughts. It was nice to have Paul's poetry as sort of something that was, overarching in the film and sort of like wrapped up his character, but it was also nice to have the girls' dialogue or, different people's voiceover narratives as well.
Certainly enriches the experience. And apart from the shooting on film, which, like I said, makes the film look stunning, there's also some sort of a musical rhythm to it. And I very much enjoyed the uses of music in the film, particularly in the end, where in the ending where, you use this kind of nostalgic piece of music that I must know what it is, but actually that kind of adds this sort of sentiment to the whole thing. I mean, this is a very loving portrait, isn't it?
Yeah, I went into it listening to a lot of sort of space music and weird synthy music. As we were editing, I just happened to be listening to those things, and my DP as well really loves Japanese music, so he brought in a lot of strange sounding things, and we sort of just stuck to that throughout, and we realized part of the way through that it sort of lent this weird alien quality to it, like someone was viewing these people from the outside world and nothing was completely computing, like everything didn't quite make sense, and I really liked that about it. But I also think, I mean, it makes it nostalgic and a bit dreamy, but I also didn't want to force that either. I didn't want it to be too dreamy, and I didn't want the environment to take over too much to where it was very lyrical. I wanted it to still feel natural.
So I thank you very much for taking the time off and talking with us about it.
Thank you so much. It was great to do it.
Yay! Let's do a yay together.
Yay.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.